If you can, stand. We're going to look from Exodus 16, 1 through 12. The whole congregation of the Israelites set out from Elim, and Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread, for you have brought us into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instructions or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather on other days." So Moses and Aaron said to the Israelites, "In the evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your complaining against the Lord. For what are we that you complain against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and your fill of bread in the morning, because the Lord has heard the complaining that you utter against him, what are we? Your complaining is not against us, it's against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, 'Draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining.'" And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am your Lord.'" Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this moment. And Lord, we pray a blessing on this moment. And we pray, Lord, for open minds and open hearts. We pray, Lord, that your Spirit work in us something new today. Lord, that your Spirit, with our openness, allow it to transform us more into your image. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Have a seat. So I'm going to start with a story. The transition between high school and college did not go smoothly for me. When I was in high school, everything came easy. And what I mean by that is I never felt overly stressed about class assignments or projects. I just did what I need to do to get what I need to do to get done, sometimes in a timely manner. And sometimes my mom could tell you it took me a little bit longer than a timely manner to get it done. But that's probably a discussion for another day. So let's put it this way. I was really good at procrastination. And my teachers, for some weird reason, still loved me in the midst of my procrastination. And so anyways, when I finished up high school, and this will be my humble brag for the day, I finished up in the top 10% of my class. By the way, of like 730. Not 10, Richard, at New Boston. So there you go. So I graduated in the top 10% of my class, and I went to ACU. It's when I went to ACU that I realized that college was nothing like high school. See, the professors were a little bit different than my high school teachers. They had different expectations. The tools that had got me through high school were not the same tools that I needed to get through college. I couldn't just breeze my way through assignments. They actually had due dates. That actually mattered. Professors didn't care how much work another professor gave me, or didn't care if I had another assignment that was due that day. They actually expected me to turn in their paper on time. I mean, can you believe that kind of attitude? So when grades came out in the first semester, it didn't go well. My parents over there would tell you it didn't go well. Nobody was happy with me during Christmas break. I remember when my parents got, that's when they still mailed grades. You remember those, some of us, when they mailed grades to parents? Which I found out later, did you know you could have signed a piece of paper that not let your parents get their grades in the mail? Right, that, yeah, but anyway. But I didn't sign that piece of paper, so my parents got the grades in the mail. And I remember when my mom and dad saw them for the first time that day. There was a lot of weeping and gnashing of teeth. But we got through it. I'm still alive. But there was one particular professor who was frustrated with me. It was my advisor, Dr. Dixon. Dr. Dixon was frustrated with what he saw my GPA was in the very first, and I'm not going to say it out loud because I'm even embarrassed of it. But he was a bit frustrated with me. So when I got back on campus, he's the one that called me and immediately set up an appointment. And I went to his office, and after a bit of complaining about professors, because honestly, it was the professor's fault that I made the grades that I made. It wasn't my fault. Come on. It's always someone else's fault, right? It was the professor's fault. So after Dr. Dixon allowed me to complain for a few minutes, he began to give me what began the next 4 years of advice every so often. His first part was this. He was giving me new tools to get through college. The first and the one I remember the most was this. Russell, you don't go to bed on the same day you wake up. You don't go to bed on the same day you wake up. So you go to bed before midnight. Because if you go to bed after midnight, you're waking up on the same day. It was his big thing. He hammered it into me that one of the big issues is I wasn't getting any sleep. But you got to understand, Dr. Dixon didn't just believe in giving advice. He then made it practical. He would go on to, as he was talking to me, say, so here's what I've done. I've changed your schedule. I'm going to give you a 6 a.m. class with me. Anybody who's ever been in college and a freshman, 6 a.m. class, how does that sound? But this is what he says. I'm going to put you in my class at 6 a.m. on, not Tuesday, Thursday, because that'd be too easy. At least it's only 2 days. Nope, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So you're going to be with me from 6 to 7:30 every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. He was forcing me to go to bed, not on the same day I woke up. Because that's who Dr. Dixon was in my life. He was a guy who just didn't give advice. He then made it practical. He made it something that I could understand. And not only that, he knew that in this next semester I was going to need him, and I did, to remind me over and over and over again throughout the semester of what I needed. I think it's a lot. I mean, as I think about this and as I was thinking about this week, I think I learned what Lewis and Clark's Core of Discoveries group learned and what the Israelites are learning as they left Egypt, that old models don't work in new territory. And in the words of Dorothy, we are not in Kansas anymore, Toto. And I think it's where we find ourselves today. It's why we began this series last week. We find ourselves in new territory. It's what Rob told me. It feels weird not to be able to shake hands. We find ourselves in a new place. And as I talked last week, it is hard to let go and look towards a new future because we're dealing with in us the fear of the unknown and a loss of things that we've always known. And yet we saw last week that God calls us to still move forward and that God says to us, as he said in Exodus 14, to do not be afraid, to stand firm and to move forward. And that's all well and good as I finished last week's sermon, but really, what does it mean to move forward? And quoting the men of Lewis and Clark's Corps of Discovery, when they saw the Rocky Mountains before them, the quote of one of the men was, "Those are the most terrible mountains I've ever seen." That's where some of us may find ourselves today, looking into a future that looks different, a new territory that looks different, and we find ourselves still saying we have to move forward, but we're moving forward into the most terrible mountains that we've ever beheld. And the Israelites we see in chapter 16 are in this moment in the wilderness. Going forward is going to be rough. It's going to have its struggles. And when we realize that the tools that we've been given or that we've had no longer work for us, it gets a little bit harder. It's a hard thing to take a first step into the unknown. It's a hard thing. As Dr. Dixon was telling me, you can't go to sleep on the same day you wake up. Oh, by the way, we're going to learn this by me putting you in a 6 a.m. class. It was a hard thing to wake up as a freshman at 5:45 when everybody else is asleep in your dorm. And by the way, they just opened up the front doors because if you're at ACU at my time, they shut her down at 11 and they opened her up at 5:30. They had just opened up our dorms like 15 minutes earlier. Like I got to know the guy who was like the overnight watchman in the dorms, right? I mean, who does that? But that's what Dr. Dixon wanted me to learn. It wasn't easy the first time. It wasn't easy the second time. It actually wasn't easy until about week four. Because it's a hard thing to take a first step into a future that we don't quite know. It's one thing for the people of God to get out of Egypt. It's quite another to move forward. And even when God did big things to get them out of Egypt, even when God did all of those miracles and put Egypt on its knees to get them out, we still see how much of a struggle it is. That getting through the wilderness to the other side is still a challenge. That this whole thing from Egypt to Promised Land is going to look different. The community will look different through the process. But they're not there yet. They're going to get there, but they're not there yet. But what we realize in this chapter is there's this identity formation that is beginning to happen within them. Their routines, their mindsets, their knowledge. Understand this, all of that has been rooted for the last 400 years in an Egyptian way of being. All they know is Egypt, and it's a hard thing to let go of Egypt when that's all you've ever known. And so we hear the complaints, and if you notice at the first, in that first part that we read, your Bible may say, we hear the complaints of the congregation, and that's the words you there use there, the congregation of the Israelites. And I think we can, let's go back because we can look at it. This is fun. The congregation of the Israelites. Notice that. That's a big thing going on. It's not used all that often. So God is doing something, changing their identity. What's interesting is we notice in verse 3, as they start complaining, Moses writes, and God is calling them the congregation of the Israelites. They still say, we're this whole assembly. We haven't gotten to that identity yet. This is significant, what's going on in the midst of the wilderness. We begin to see identity formation. And I like what Terrence Freetham says here, and we got to move forward now. I like what Terrence Freetham says here. He says this about this moment. He says, the congregation of Israel is a recognition of the new identity that they had received through God's work, God's creative act, God's work in Egypt. But their perceptions, get this, but their perceptions do not correspond to this new reality. They're not there yet. They have not yet become who they are. Israel's transformation, Israel's trust, Israel's belief that they can be something different through all of this is not there right now. It will come with every step into the wilderness and into the future. Here's what we have to learn. Nothing happens overnight. When I got back from Christmas, I sat down with Dr. Dixon, and he changed my schedule. I was 15 minutes late the first time. I was 15 minutes late the second time. I was 15 minutes late the third time. I was always 15 minutes late. Dr. Dixon kept reminding me over and over what was trying to be done. And what I was realizing is nothing happens overnight. Transformation, learning new skills and tools for what is this new normal doesn't come to us overnight. Remember, we're on a whole new map here. There's no kind of rules that we're used to having that can make everything better. It will take a steady belief that the one leading us is trustworthy and dependable. Someone who will walk alongside of us through all of this, will be our guide through the uneasy moments that we go through. And these uneasy moments seem to be the ordinary thing in life right now. It's when we realize that there's something we can't do anymore. We may have to wear a mask, or we might have to watch church online for a little while. It's when our normal, this kind of thing that we're used to, is impinged upon, is when we begin to get uneasy about where we're going and who we're going with. It's easy for us to miss what's happening around us because we've gotten so used to our life. Have you noticed that? When everything is normal, when everything is going well, we can have a way of just skating through the day. We can wake up and we can go to bed, and in between, we can just do our thing. We're almost like robots. We can do it. We can have our conversations. We can go to our work, and we're done. And in between that, we have certain expectations of how things should work and what things are supposed to happen. And when it doesn't, complaints happen. Complaints happen when you can't find certain products at the store that you're used to finding, which, by the way, you can find them now, right? But complaints happen when you couldn't find them. Complaints happen when you see others hoarding those products you would like. Complaints happen when normal gets overthrown for something new, and we see it here in verse 2. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. When normal is no longer normal, whatever that normal looks like, trust begins to diminish, and we also feel like the Israelites. We feel like someone is out to get us. Did you hear what the Israelites said here? You've been out to get us this whole time. We feel like someone is out to get us, that there was a plan, but that plan all along was pointing towards our demise. Everything God had done to this point, the amazing acts that God had performed, the amazing things that God had done, had all been about God destroying them in the wilderness. And we probably heard friends of ours say the same thing throughout this. Something's out to get me, whoever it may be. Someone's out to do this to us. Something's out to do this to us. We've probably heard the complaints. We may have been ones who were complaining from time to time. But here's the thing about this moment that the Israelites find themselves in. Here's the thing about when we begin to take those first steps into a future that's probably going to look different. Notice what God does. Because here's the thing. We don't need big acts. We need assurance. We need the assurance that people are around us, that there is presence with us, that even in our complaining, we need the assurance that someone's there listening. And in the moment of complaining about God, they are hungry and they are tired of it all. God steps in and provides. God provides manna and meat for the people. And notice this, there is no anxiousness on the part of God. God just provides. At the end, we see, at twilight, you'll eat meat. In the morning, you'll have your fill of bread. And get this, this is how you know I'm going to be your Lord. And even before that, I've heard the complaining. I've heard it. And know this, I'm going to be with you. And here's this moment that we have. The struggle for the people of God and for us is real. The struggle is real. We haven't fully realized what God is doing in this moment. And this is where I think we're going to get to this new normal here in a minute. What we haven't fully realized what God is doing in this moment. We haven't fully realized what God is doing to us in this moment. What God is preparing for us. And I do believe that in this moment, God is preparing for us something different. God is preparing for us to live differently, to see differently, and to be different to our neighbors and amongst our neighbors. And so where do we go from here today? Here's what we need to focus on. Here's when we begin to work into this new normal. Here's what we need to look at. I think we need to move into the future asking these questions. What is God doing right now? Not the big things, but what is God doing right now? Where have you seen God this week? What has God provided for you this week? Maybe it was a conversation. Maybe it was a moment of quiet time that you haven't had in the last 9 weeks. Maybe you did find that thing you needed at the grocery store. Maybe it was a needed phone call. Maybe it was a new introduction to someone you have never met. Or maybe it was just the realization of who you really are. Here's the thing. I think for a lot, our normals were to ignore what God was doing in our ordinary time. And when we ignore how God moves in our lives and only focus on it on a Sunday or a Wednesday, we miss a lot. We have a tendency then to believe that everything and everyone is out to get us if we're not careful. We will even come to believe that God is punishing us or the community if we don't pay attention. But if we pay attention in this new time, and if we realize that even in our complaints, that God is walking alongside of us, providing us in these new times, providing us the things we need in these new times, then I think we can see a God who came in the flesh through Jesus to be with us in a moment, In the person of Jesus, we have the witness and the assurance that God hasn't bailed on us, that God isn't out to get us, but we have the assurance that God is even in the little things, meat and bread. And what I'm not saying is the journey is going to be easy. I mean, change is difficult. New is difficult. Going off the map is difficult. Not having a manual is difficult. Learning new things is difficult. It's going to be different. There is going to be different things. But what I am saying is that if we pay attention in the ordinary to what God provides, to who God provides to us in the moment, to the conversations that we have, then what we begin to see is what Moses said, or what God says, I'm going to give them meat and bread and they will know that I am Lord. It's in the ordinary things that we begin to realize that God is Lord, that God is present, that we will be led by a provider. We will be led by a non-anxious presence of Jesus. And in those moments, it will take us slowly giving ourselves to God. For the transformation that God is trying to move into the wilderness for the people of Israel, to go from this assembly of just people to a congregation, the sacred group of people, it's going to take time and it's going to take relationship. What we see in the text is a God who is all in on relationship, a God who is all in on going on this journey with us. And in the end, if we pay attention to what God's actions are in this journey, then where we go from here will be a place of transformation and hope. It will be a new land where the goodness of God will flow out in our lives to other people that we see, where our worship becomes fuller because we retell the stories of God every week. Not the big things, just retell the stories of God in your life. This is what God did for me this week. I met a new neighbor. I got to go to the grocery store and got good stuff. I just didn't kill my kids. Any of those things, we are able to retell those stories to one another. And if we're willing to travel this with God, then we can be the same to others who are navigating this journey as well. And I will tell you, in this moment, people need y'all. People need us to be God to them. They need non-anxious presence. They need people who will listen and walk alongside of their complaints. They will need to be people who can be providers. They need all of those things. What we need in this world is more of what God is trying to do to the Israelites and us being the Israelites, also realizing that we are the Israelites through this as well. It's a big full circle, try to figure it out. But the beauty of all of this is in this new normal, I believe what God is calling us to in this moment is to pay attention to the ordinary things of life. And in so doing, you will know that I am Lord. If you have any needs this morning, come now as we stand and as we sing.